I can tell you that it's not an uncommon occurrence. And I had this happen as a priest, as a bishop, and even as an archbishop. For someone, usually after a mass or after a prayer liturgy, I'll be standing in the back of the church, and usually a grandmother or a mother will have their, and it's usually a son, a little three-year-old in tow. And they'll stand in front of me, and the mother or grandmother will say, "Johnny, show the bishop what you learned." And the boy will look up with his big eyes, and he'll take his hand, and he'll touch his forehead, and he'll touch his heart, and he'll touch both shoulders, and he'll say, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen." And a big beam will come across his face. You know, proud that suddenly he now kind of learned a prayer evoking the Godhead. Now, did little Johnny totally understand the mystery of the Trinity? No, no one has ever understood the mystery of the Trinity in totality. It's one of those aspects that we grasp for, that we try to explain analogously, but we never really touch the mystery. And this mystery in particular is really the core of our faith. This mystery of the Trinity is what we believe. If you just reflect, the Trinity is like breathing for us in prayer. We started this Mass with the Trinity, evoking our God, naming our God. We will end this Mass with the blessing, evoking the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a part and parcel of every fabric of our being. But as I said, it doesn't stop those trying to explain, trying to give an insight. And we're all familiar with St. Patrick, the great missionary who converted Ireland. And of course, part of it is explaining the teaching of the Church. And why is that so important? Lex credendi, lex orandi. We pray what we believe. We pray what we believe. So it's important for us to understand what we believe. And of course, Patrick had to try to explain this strange mystery of three persons in one God. Each person never losing the fullness, but yet at the same time, one in the Godhead. So, of course, what did he use? He used the shamrock. Held the shamrock up, kind of explained it. There's three leaves to the shamrock, and the shamrock is one. However, the distinctness and fullness of each person would be found in each leaf. It's as if the shamrock would have been present in each and every leaf. So, the analogy limped. The founder of the Jesuits, St. Ignatius, tried to explain the Trinity catechetically by using those three notes that form a chord. Three notes are all separate and distinct, but they come out as one. Wonderful explanation in terms of understanding a little bit of the unity, but the distinctiveness would have been that the Godhead would have been contained in each one. More modern theologians have use H2O, if you use water, because we know it can be in a liquid form. It could be a mist or gas. It can be used also as ice, solid. So, taking a look at those three, but still all being water. Nice, but what does it lack? It lacks the understanding, again, the totality being contained in each one. Remember Jesus' statement, "I and the Father are one." Even though we can dialogue with the Father, they're still together, together always. Part of the aspect is the fact that our intellect, our need to understand and to know is out there and we want to embrace, and we get frustrated when we can't embrace it all. One of the aspects of the Trinity that says to us is relax. Understand what you're dealing with. This is finitude caught in infinity. We understand beginning and end. Trinity, there is no beginning and there is no end. The Trinity has always and continues to be eternal, always and always present. But it's our reason kind of going against that which is revealed to us in truth. And when I say relax, you relax because you begin to understand that we are creatures before our God who is the Creator, our God who is far surpasses us in the power of the world, far surpasses us in anything we can try to grasp or understand. So maybe the insight to the Trinity should come from the gospel today. The gospel today from John, who doesn't hesitate to say that very famous saying, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Maybe the lens that we look at our God is through love. And that's what helps us to understand that Trinity, that unity of persons, the constant love of Father and Son, which generates the Spirit, that constant community that is present. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Now, I would venture to say, knowing a number of you here in this congregation, and many people who might be listening at home, that there is no doubt you would accept love as a mystery. You'd accept it as a mystery. You can kind of analyze your relationship with your spouses. You can take a look at family and take a look at the children that have been given to you and the relation of love. You can analyze it sociologically. You can analyze it psychologically. You can analyze it from ideas of attraction or non-attraction. But in the end, the relationship of love, why we love, whom we love, is always a mystery. Why this person at this time? Why this experience shared at this time, which generates that relationship and that fellowship in the community? Why? And we struggle to come up with an answer. We attempt to try to capture that mystery, but we realize we just can't. In the end, we love because we love. We love, we accept that love, and we accept it on its terms. Parental love, spousal love, love of friendship. We accept it on its terms. When taking a look at the Trinity and looking through the lens of love, we begin to understand why our God would communicate himself to us through a unity of persons. To a unity of persons. Love, in its essence, calls us to surrender ourselves to the other. And in so doing, there is a creation that occurs, and in that creation itself is the love that is generated between the two. You can see that most readily in the relationship of a husband and wife, in their love, which is objectified in a child, love which is present. And even for those who are not given the gift of children, their love for one another generates others into that community. They bring family and they bring friends into the love that they share. And they stand as a symbol in their relationship of a shared love. When talking about the Trinity, we understand immediately that this is God showing us the community in the Godhead. That community is our ultimate goal. It is to be one with their God. There's a glib Irish preacher who kind of tried to explain the Trinity, and he got, as you can get in trying to explain kind of a mystery, he realized he was getting deeper and deeper into quagmire. He was making one more mistake after the other. In the end, he finally frustratedly looked at the congregation and said, "You know, let me tell you." He said the Trinity was so filled with love and generosity that it wished it had four rather than three. Well, you know, he's not too far wrong from the invitation of love. Love brings in people. Love brings in people. Take a look at the relationship of the Trinity. It is God the Father sending his Son. Why? Because he loves you. He loves the world. And through that Son, he wants to draw us in. And what happens? Sends the Holy Spirit so we continually have the witness of that love in the world. And then he calls us as believers, as an extension of that, to call others to that love, to bring them in, to care for those who are in the world, to represent God's love to our brothers and sisters in the way we reach out to them, in terms of the charity that we do. And what is charity? Its very nature? Love. I care for you. That's why I'm doing this. And in that, I care for God, who has cared for me. Today we celebrate a core mystery of our belief, the Trinity. And we understand that that Trinity is given to us as an invitation to love. Not only now, but forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.